The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, verses 43 to 65. Verses 55 through 65 will be the basis for tonight's sermon. Just then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. A crowd was with him, armed with swords and clubs. They were from the chief priests, the experts in the law, and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." He went right to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood nearby drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Jesus responded by saying to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me as you would a criminal? Day after day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But this happened so that the scriptures may be fulfilled." Then the disciples all left him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing just a linen cloth over his naked body. They seized him, but he left behind the linen cloth and fled from them naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest. All the chief priests, the elders, and the experts in the law gathered together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Yet, even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stepped forward and questioned Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this they are testifying against you?" But Jesus was silent and did not answer anything. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," Jesus said, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as being worthy of death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him and beat him. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Every good story needs a bad guy. In the true and good story of Jesus' passion, there are plenty of villains to pick from. Judas would probably come to most people's minds first, but there is also St. Peter. And of course, we can picture Pontius Pilate sitting on the stone pavement, knowingly sentencing an innocent man to death. Now, there is no doubt that all three of those men did bad things, but were they themselves entirely bad? After his betrayal, Judas was seized with remorse, and he did refuse to keep his blood money. After the rooster crowed, Peter saw his sin and sobbed. And Pilate, at least he tried, right? He wanted to let Jesus go. He looked for windows where he might be able to do that. He finally just crumbled when he felt cornered. Now, none of that is to excuse what any of those three men did. They all did things that were wrong and had serious consequences. But in all three of those cases, you can at least see some sign of an inner struggle, can't you? That is not the case with Caiaphas the high priest. When Caiaphas puts on the black hat, it fits perfectly. And if you read everything that the four Gospels have to say about Caiaphas, the high priest, you will find absolutely no redeeming qualities whatsoever. Caiaphas is cold, cruel, and calculating, and he lets nothing stand in the way of getting what he wants, not even the Son of God. Which is ironic, because as the holder of the highest religious office in Israel, Caiaphas was supposed to be representing the Lord. And of course, there is a word for someone who pretends to be what they are not, a hypocrite. And that is the word that fits Caiaphas best. Tonight we are going to look at the hypocrisy of this high priest, but not with the purpose of congratulating ourselves for not being like him. St. Mark gives us the most detailed report of what went on during Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin, although Mark never dignifies Caiaphas by calling him by his name. To Mark, he's just the high priest. Jesus' trial began in the middle of the night, which was utterly illegal. You see, as part of their efforts to maintain the peace in this powder keg province of Judea, the Romans granted the Sanhedrin the authority to arrest and try people for religious offenses. However, as part of the deal, all of the trials were to be held during daylight hours and in the open so that the Romans could keep an eye on things if they felt the need to. So not only was the timing of this trial completely illegal, but the purpose of this trial was not to get to the truth. The purpose of this trial was to find evidence, any evidence at all, even if it had to be manufactured, that would result in a quick conviction of Jesus. There is a problem, though. The Sanhedrin cannot find any religious dirt on Jesus because he's perfectly clean. So, how do you pin a religious crime on a perfect person? Well, lying could work. Some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands. Now, Jesus did say something sort of like that way back at the beginning of his public ministry, but he was talking about his own body. He was predicting his own resurrection. He wasn't talking about the actual physical structure of the temple. But Caiaphas, the high priest, was the man presiding over this illegal and perjurious trial, and he could not have been pleased with his cohort's failure to drum up some testimony that would condemn Jesus. I mean, honestly, how hard is it really to get two or three people to memorize a simple lie and repeat it under oath? But they couldn't even manage that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Caiaphas was thinking to himself, ugh, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself, when he stood up and began questioning Jesus directly. Have you nothing to answer? What is this they are testifying against you? Jesus gave no answer at all, so the interrogation continued, except now Caiaphas raised the stakes. He put Jesus under oath and demanded, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? This is a simple yes or no question, but it is devilishly clever. Because answering nothing would be a tacit denial, saying no would be an actual denial, and speaking the truth, saying yes, would be handing Caiaphas exactly what he was looking for. Jesus understood this question, he knew why Caiaphas was asking it, and he also understood the implications for all three of those possible answers. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him if he told the truth, that he was going to suffer brutality at the hands of these hypocrites. But Jesus told the truth anyway, and he told it emphatically. I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. It was time to testify to the truth. It was time to suffer at the hands of these men, and it was time to bring God's plan of salvation to its completion. Now, you know, Caiaphas had to be jumping for joy on the inside when Jesus gave that answer, but obviously he couldn't let it show. He had to hide it, so he faked shock and outrage. He grabbed his collar with his hands and tore his robes and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy." Blasphemy, claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God. This was what shocked Caiaphas into ripping his robes, and this was the charge he was sure would stick. And at that moment, the other members of the Sanhedrin took off their masks and showed who they really were. The members of the Sanhedrin, usually so sanctimonious, practiced, and polished, turned into a violent mob. They all condemned him as being worthy of death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face and struck him with their fists, saying, "Prophesy." The images of what those men did to our Savior with their hands and with their words is disturbing, and I don't like picturing it, but I do want to know why. Why did they hate Jesus so much? Why did they hate him so much that they wanted him dead? And why was their high priest willing to sell his soul to achieve that goal? Well, it was political. I'm sure you have heard things like this in Lenten sermons before, that Caiaphas and the rest of the Sanhedrin, they were really worried that the masses were going to abandon them and flock to Jesus and start following him. And there is truth in that. In fact, there is a conversation among the members of the Sanhedrin that's recorded in John chapter 11 where Caiaphas himself says, "It is better for one man, Jesus, to die so the nation can live." And of course, that would be the nation under his leadership. But there was another reason for all of this hate. And this reason is not political at all. This reason is spiritual. See, this body of religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, represented a certain way of life and a certain line of religious thinking that said, God rewards people who do outwardly good things. And there were many people in Israel, including the members of the Sanhedrin, who honestly believed that they were doing enough good things on the outside in their life that God would reward them with a place in heaven. And then, along comes this pesky little prophet from Nazareth, of all places, and he turns everything upside down. Instead of admiring their good works and fawning over them like everybody else, he calls them to repent. He calls them a brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs, the children of the devil. He calls them out on their hypocrisy and calls them to repent. And he does not do that to embarrass them. And he doesn't do it to challenge their earthly authority. He does it because he loves them and he wants them to see that he is the only way to heaven. You know, even during this trial, Jesus gives Caiaphas one last chance, one last invitation to repent. When he predicts that one day their roles are going to be reversed, Jesus as the judge, Caiaphas as the one being judged. And you know, by rejecting that invitation, Caiaphas shows us the deep danger of hypocrisy. The hypocrite only cares about how things look on the surface. He tries to project perfection to the world around him so that nobody will think about what's on the inside. And the hypocrite sees no reason to repent because he looks so good to the world around him. But Scripture says this, "If we claim to be without sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Are you and I at all vulnerable to this kind of self-delusion? Have you ever thought to yourself, well, I may not be perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as you know who? Have you ever been really hard on a fellow Christian for committing a sin that you yourself were actually struggling with? This is the thing when it comes to hypocrisy. If you deny that you have been a hypocrite, then you've just become one again. Now, maybe you have heard criticism before, churches, they're all just full of hypocrites anyway. You know, the best way to respond to that statement is to say, yes, that's true. Because we all have times where we work pretty hard to project a certain image to other people. We only want them to see certain things on the outside so that they won't see what's on the inside. But nothing is hidden from God. So, what separates you and me from Caiaphas? Well, Jesus does, of course. See, Jesus also calls you and me to repent. But he doesn't call us to repent to embarrass us either, and he doesn't call us to repent to challenge our position either. Jesus calls us to repent because he loves us too. And he wants us to take off our masks so that we can see clearly and look to him for the forgiveness of our sins that we need. And when we do, he is faithful and just. He forgives our sins and purifies us from all unrighteousness. And you know, once you do that, this need to look perfect to the people around you, that just sort of washes away because you know you already look perfect in the eyes of God. So, there was a hypocritical high priest running Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin, but it was our great high priest, Jesus, who was actually in control the whole time. He knew what was going to happen to him at the hands of those men if he told the truth. He had predicted that it would happen. He knew that Caiaphas' whole line of questioning was designed to trap him and lead him to that brutality. But he told the truth anyway, because he wasn't there to save his own life. He was there to save us. So he told the truth. And because he did, our hypocrisy is both forgiven and unnecessary. Amen.